God bless you. And I couldn't have more confidence in any young pastor in the country than I do this man. You've got God's choice servant. But he'll be a better one as you pray for him and encourage him. The sermons will be better if you prepare your heart to hear them. No doubt about it. And I believe as wonderful as the past of this church has been, and it has, what a wonderful, wonderful reputation you have. But don't you honestly believe that God has more for you? Amen. Amen. And the Lord has something for us in this meeting. I'm glad my brother made it in from Africa. He's come a long way to be here. I mean, literally, that's where he came from, to be here. And I'm glad he made it. And I'm shocked because he looks better than he's looked in a long time. I'm going to Africa soon. Seriously, I told him he looked 10 years younger. You know, he hasn't had any spine surgeries. His hair has not really turned gray. He's got no blood pressure problems. He's killing the rest of us, but as far as he's concerned, he's in great shape. And I'm so excited to see him. I really am. And I'm going to sort of clear the way here and prepare what I've told lots of people to do when they're preaching first, to remember that somebody's coming after them, and may God help me. How many of you brought a visitor with you? Raise your hand. If you brought someone that was not here last night, very good. You take any of those books of mine you want, any of them you want, and the rest of you should purchase some of them because they help me pay the school bills for young people who can't pay their own. That's what we do with the profit of the thing. And so any of them, $10 a piece, and just take them. There's a set of about 12 or 13 booklets back there that everybody ought to read on solid answers, things like, should Christians drink alcohol and why I'm a Baptist and lots of things, what happened when a person dies and many things like that, solid answer questions. And I want you to get them. Just get the whole packet. It's about $30, but get the whole packet for $10. And do that, and we'll get it all down to the kids who need it. We're getting near the end of the semester, and they have a lot of need, believe me. And all over this country, things are happening, and I wonder sometimes why it's happening. We'll try to talk about that a little bit. Thank you for having me. Please continue to pray for my wife, Evelyn. She and I have been married 44 years. If we live till February the 15th, it'll be 45 years, and I'm excited about that. And I want you to pray for her complete healing. I believe she's going to be just fine, but she's been through a little rough ordeal. And she told me a little while ago on the phone, she said, I love you so much and I miss you. I said, honey, I'll get there as quickly as I can. I like to be loved and missed, though, don't you? I want you to meet someone. You'll meet Brother Tom, and I want you to meet Brother T.J. Tilley. Brother Tilley, stand up there just a second. I don't know a finer missionary and finer preacher in the world than this man. I don't know a finer missionary than this man. He truly has a burden for the lost all over the world. He's been to more than 100 countries of the world trying to help see people saved and establishing Baptist churches. And God has used him in a mighty way. I wish you pastors would get better acquainted with him. I'm sure every missionary needs support, but I know this man really, really could be helped and encouraged that way. And he'll never ask you for it. But if you want great reward in heaven, get behind what he's doing. And they've got it going. I mean, they have got it going. God bless him. And I'm sure Brother Tom will say a little bit more about that. But let's pray together, may we? Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy great love to us. We thank Thee, Lord, that our lives are lived in this world. We trust for Thy glory because of the direction that You've given us. Help me as I speak. Please use this message. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Philippians. Chapter 1. I can hardly wait to hear my brother preach myself, so I'm going to try to get through this. Philippians chapter 1, and we'll begin with verse 8. I want you to know something. God has an intent for your life. I want you to think about it. Certainly the Lord has an intent for this church, but God has an intent for your life personally. And whether or not you realize it, He's already involved. Most of the time I hear people pray about the Lord's work, they're trying to get God in on something. The truth of the matter is the Lord's working to get us in on something. Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. If you're in the habit of marking things, I want you to mark this expression, and I wish you could write your name somehow or another over this. God has your name written on it. How many of you are children of God? You've been born again. The Holy Spirit bears witness. You're a child of God. Would you raise your hand real high as a testimony to it? Listen, if I had an army like this, or if somebody had an army like this, and we really knew what our marching orders happened to be, and we understood what our commander, the Lord Jesus, had in mind for us, there's no telling what could be done for God and His glory, not just here in Jerusalem, but in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. No doubt about it. Would you mark this part of the passage in verse 12? The things which happened unto me. Somehow or another, may God help us to see the connection between God's intent for our lives and everything God allows to come into our lives. In other words, these incidents are not separated from God's intent for our lives. The Bible says the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If I didn't have any other verse in the Bible, not another statement in God's Word to help me understand what God intends for all people, that's all I'd need. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why we read that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. There's not a human being on the face of God's earth to whom you could not say, Christ died for you. When you repent of your sin and by faith trust Him as Savior, He promised He'd forgive our sin, come to live in our lives, and give us eternal life. Eternal life is the life of the Eternal One, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't get that when we die. We get that when we're born again, when Christ comes to live in us. I was nearly 14 years old when I received eternal life. I was dead in my trespasses and sins, and a man took the Word of God and showed me how to be saved. And I bowed my head and prayed, asked God to forgive my sin, and trusted Jesus as my personal Savior. I knew God saved me. And that moment, I became a possessor of eternal life. It's a present possession. And by the way, God didn't save us just so we'd run around the rest of our lives telling people, oh, I'm saved. He saved us to do something with that salvation. I wonder what we're doing with that salvation God has given us. The Word of God says when Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ. That means we're dead? No. Nevertheless, I live. I thought you said you were dead. Yes, when He died on the cross, He died for me and as me. Just as surely if I had died and paid my sin debt, He bore my sin debt. He became sin for me, He who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He became sin for me. He became sin for me. He not only died for me, He died as me. And when I come to know Christ as Savior, I can say, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. I thought you said you live. Well, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. Now, wait a minute. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Looking to Calvary, where Christ bled and died for our sins, and saying, I died with Him. My sin debt's been paid. I'm free from the law. Oh, happy condition. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, the song says. Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, still walking around, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, the truth is, if Christ lives in us, and he does, we wouldn't have any question, none imaginable question, not one question, about what would be the work of Christ in this world. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. God is not willing that any should perish, I said. Think of that. Christ died for me. Think of that. So Christ lives in us. What is his passion? Could you tell me, what is his passion? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you look at the cross, you see our Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and bore our sin debt, and the billows of God's wrath rolled on the Son of God. And he suffered under that wrath and bled and died. God put his own Son to death. He cried out, not my will, but thine be done. He leaves no room for doubt. All of us know why he came. All of us know what his intent is. He said to his disciples, I've got something to leave with you. I'm going to give you my power to do it, but I've got something to leave with you. I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's it. I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So if Christ lives in us, and this is the intent of Jesus Christ, then what's going on in our lives? He's using everything imaginable to bring his children to the place on this earth where they have the same intent that he has. That's it. And by the way, he's working on the unsaved. He's working on the unsaved, doing everything outside of violating a person's will to bring that person to the sound of the gospel. Seeking after the lost. He told his disciples when he was talking to them in that beautiful passage on the Holy Spirit from John 14, 15, 16, he said, when the Spirit has come, the Holy Spirit's come, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So he said, God, co-equal, co-existent, eternally existent with God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit has a task in this world. He's in this world. He's in this meeting house right now. And he said he's going to reprove or convict the world of sin. He said that's the thing that we must deal with. Not doing a better life, whatever, not trying to be a better husband, better wife, but the fact that we are sinners by nature. And the payment of our sin is death and hell. So he's speaking to people about their sin. Your sin, my sin. Sin in the singular as Christian, as sinners, in the plural as Christians, but sin, he's convicting us that we are sinners and our sin has a payment to be made. He said, and righteousness, there's no way we can see God. I'm going to either meet God in my own effort or I'm going to meet God in what Christ has done with his imputed righteousness on my account. And when I've had the imputed righteousness put on my account, his record put on my record, God's going to see me just like he sees Jesus, as if I were never even a sinner. And the Lord said the Holy Spirit is going to be working to help people understand that. And then judgment. That's not judgment to come. The Holy Spirit is convicting or reproving the world of sin, righteousness. That's the righteousness of Christ we need to meet God. We can receive in the person of Jesus Christ. And the third thing is judgment. As I said, that's not a future judgment. That's the judgment of our sin that took place in the body of Christ. That's the judgment of Satan that took place through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The Lord is working, the Holy Spirit is working to convince people that in the body of Christ, sin was judged. And through his death, burial, and resurrection, Satan has been defeated. We can live a victorious life. People don't have to live under this awful burden and weight and dread of death and hell that they live under. He said the Holy Ghost is going to be working in this entire world to convince people of that. But here's the amazing thing. It is amazing. Just like human penmen wrote the Word of God, God says, now I've got to work in the lives of my children to be the instruments of the Spirit of God in this world. To take the message, to go with the gospel, to be laborers together with God. Laborers together with God, co-laborers with the Lord. And so we're working, taking the truth of God's word, talking to people about sin, talking to people about righteousness, talking to people about judgment. And by the way, if we don't do it, if it's God's children don't do it, it won't be done. So no wonder our intent needs to be joined completely with God's intent. Where are we? Now I hope you'll take time at your leisure to read the last chapters, two chapters at least, of the book of Acts. Such a detailed description of Paul's suffering on that ship, but many other things he suffered. Hold your place here. We're coming back to this passage in Philippians, but turn with me to 2 Corinthians, if you would please. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. And Paul says in verse 24, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in wearying and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now you have that on your mind, do you? You can't find anything in the world that you'd ever go through that he didn't go through here. Finally martyred, his noble head severed from his shoulders, and he goes out to meet God. Now let's go back to what he said. And he's writing, by the way, from prison. Remember the journey he took on board that ship, leaving Caesarea Maritime? He'd been in jail there for 2 years. And now he's in this first imprisonment in Rome, penning this book of Philippians. And he says, I want you to get this. Look at it again. He says, I love you, and I pray this, verse 9 of chapter 1. I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Would you look here, please? Let's take these as the words they are, coming through Paul, but the words of God to us. And God says to this assembly of believers, pastor, people, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Notice what else he says, that ye may approve things that are excellent. Get your mind off all these little nothings. Look what else he's praying, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And what else? Be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. And then, here's the point. And I would you should understand, brethren. Now look here, please. I love being here. Anytime you invite me, I'll try to come, all right? I love this church. But I want you to know, it doesn't make any difference how good a church it is, how faithful the people are, how noble a Christian life each of you may live. It is a supernatural thing to be able to understand the workings of God. You don't get that just because you come to church and read a Bible. God Himself has to give that understanding. Remember in Luke chapter 24, for time's sake, I won't read it, on that day when Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says He opened their understanding. You'd think they'd understood, but He had to open their understanding. Look here, please. Then God has to open our understanding. So what about? Here it is. This supernatural thing I'm praying God will do, they'll open your understanding. That the things, you'll read about them in that shipwreck. I read them about other things other than that shipwreck in 2 Corinthians to you a moment ago. That all of this, these things, which happened unto me, have fallen out, rather, unto the furtherance of the gospel. Now, let's don't lose the thought. Here it is. He said, I want you to understand that everything that has happened in my life personally, an all-wise God, is using every bit of it to get more people saved. If I could just understand God's intent. You say, but Brother Sexton, you don't know some things happened to me. I'm saying to you that all things are for our sakes. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. And Paul writes from prison after going through all he went through and says, I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I don't want you to get sidetracked by painful thoughts. I want you to know our God wants people saved. And He's used all these things in my life to get more people saved for the furtherance of the gospel. For the furtherance of the gospel. And beloved, that's the thing. When God gives us that understanding to see Jesus in all of these things, that's the thing that will transform our lives and transform this church. It's not a lot of separated things. Even before we were born, God was working. You know, we have something bad happening, so, oh, God, come to me and help me. Wait, God's already there. He was there before it ever happened. Lord, we need you. We're raising money. We're building this out of the other. And we're going to launch out, and we're going to India or wherever. Wait a minute. God is already there. And if He hasn't worked out things to help you to see that already, then you're not trying to get God on board. He's already got a mission in this world. He just wants us to get on board with His mission in this world. God's intent is to get people saved. And what the Lord is doing in our individual personal lives is working to get us to understand how He's using everything that comes to us to bring us closer to Him, to bring more people to Jesus Christ. How many of you think of something that might have been unpleasant or pleasant? It might have been disappointing or approving. But something that happened to you personally. If you separate that from God, you're going to get to the place where you can't make any sense out of your life. But once God opens our understanding and we see that the things which happen unto us are for the furtherance of the gospel, God opens our understanding, then we see an all-wise, purposeful God has one great intent. So much in that intent with passion that He gave His only begotten Son to accomplish it, to get people saved. And the question for me, I'm sorry, I apologize, excuse me, I'm leaving you out of it now. The question for me, spine surgeries, disappointments, different things, pain, whatever. Lord, help me to see that all these things are for the furtherance of the gospel. Everybody, you let me see everything I've done. People who've seen me, I've seen them. Oh, God, you're all wise, and you're working for the furtherance of the gospel. Have you discovered that in your life? You see, even when it doesn't make sense to us, We'll trust God with faith to know it's all reconciled in the mind of God, and God always knows what He's doing. And what He's doing is getting people saved. Let's bow in prayer, may we? Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. May we rest in the truth of Thy Word. Help us to stop wrestling and fighting with Thee, and to take our place in getting the lost saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor.